آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فنلتقي بعد فراق، والحمد لله افترقنا في المرة الماضية على طاعته، ونلتقي في هذه المرة على طاعته، فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يديم علينا نعمة الطاعة وأن يجعلنا من أهلها، إنه سبحانه وحده ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وحقيقة في هذه العجالة أذكر بأن هذه الدنيا ليست دار راحة وليست دار قرار، وإنما خلقنا فيها لكي نكد ونتعب، ولكي نبذل ونعمل من أجل أن نستريح في دار السلام، حيث لا نغص ولا كدر ولا هم ولا حزن ولا غل ولا حسد، فهي لذلك دار السلام التي نزع الله عز وجل من صدور أهلها كل ما يؤلمها، سلم قلوبهم وسلم أبدانهم، فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا من أهلها. وأما هذه الدنيا فكما قال بعض أهل العلم إن جنة الدنيا هي لذة الطاعة، أما الدنيا نفسها فمنغصة ومكدرة، تملأ قلوب أصحابها بالهموم وبالأحزان وبالشقاء وبالعذاب، فلذة هذه الدنيا جنة هذه الدنيا هي لذة الطاعة، طاعة الله سبحانه بتوحيده أولا، ثم باتباع سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ثانيا، ثم باتباع سلف الأمة ثالثا، فليحمد الله عز وجل وليبشر بأن سلامته في هذه الدنيا بالتوحيد وبالسنة وباتباع سلف الأمة هي بشرى له بأنه سيسلم إن شاء الله في تلك الدار التي لا قرار فيها إلا في جنة أو نار. وأكتفي بهذه الكلمات اليسيرات، لكنها تلخص لنا حياتنا في هذه الدنيا، وأنها هي السبيل الوحيد إلى حياتنا في الدار الآخرة التي هي الحياة وهي الحيوان، كما قال الله في كتابه: وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين. The Sheikh Barakallahu Fihi began Ikhwan by saying that we have once again come together and we've met each other after departing each other's company. Walhamdulillah. We've come together this time again on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we separated the last time, inshaAllah, on the obedience of Allah and on a taqwa. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this our condition at all times in every circumstance, that we come together on his ta'ah or his obedience and a taqwa, and that we split and part each other's company on his ta'ah and his taqwa, only to come together again on his taqwa, on his ta'ah and a taqwa. He said, I want to remind everyone here that the dunya in which we're living in, it is not a place of comfort, nor is it a place of stability. It is not a place that we have been created and placed here in order to enjoy ourselves to the fullest, nor is it a place that we've been here to get what is known as istiqrar, and that is where a person feels or he acts as if he's going to be at this particular place forever. He said, we have been created, and everyone should understand this, we have been created in this dunya to work and to become tired and to become fatigued, so that ultimately we will receive the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. And that is where the comfort is going to be the reward of the people who worked here. And in the akhirah, there is no discomfort, nor is there any grieving, nor is there any envy, nor will there be any hatred in the hearts of the people, nor will there be mutual competition, nor will there be jealousy. But that place in the akhirah is the Darus Salam, or the place, the abode of peace and comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the people's hearts and their bodies to rejoice in comfort over there as a result of what they put forth here in the dunya. And as many of the people of the past, from the righteous predecessors, they used to say in explaining the reality of the dunya and how we should look at the dunya, they used to say that the dunya, the jannah of the dunya, the good portion of the dunya, the jannah of the dunya comes as a result of having the lidha of the ta'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the person who is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing what Allah ta'ala ordered him to do and staying away from Allah ordered him to stay away from, this is the only jannah that you will find in this particular dunya. As for the dunya in and of itself, as a creation of Allah ta'ala and as a place of resonance for the people, then it in and of itself is a terrible place. A place where the people who are trying to hold on to it will suffer from grievance. They will grieve and they will be sad, and they will suffer from complaints, and they will suffer from punishment, and they will suffer from discomfort, and they will suffer from a bad and general disposition. So let not any of us miss this point, that if you want the Jannah in the dunya, the only way that it can be acquired is that you understand that the Jannah of the dunya comes as a result of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By establishing the Tawheed of Allah first and foremost, and then by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his authenticated sunnah. And then thirdly, the Jannah of the dunya is by following and obeying and taking as an example the way of the righteous predecessors from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi. So we praise Allah ta'ala for this. We send praises to Allah for giving us the success at this particular stage in our lives, for making us upon the people who are on this path at this point in our lives, and we ask him to cause us to end on this. For verily this is a bushra, or a good tidings for us, a good sign for us, that we recognize the importance of this tawheed and following the sunnah and following the example of the righteous predecessors of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So with this reminder, I want to stop at this particular point and summarize what the dunya is all about, and the way to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's good pleasure and his reward is that all of us keep that squarely planted in front of us, and we remind ourselves, as Allah ta'ala so eloquently expressed in the Quran when he said about the dunya, when he said about the hereafter, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. and verily the hereafter. Verily the hereafter, that is the true life. That is the true life, if they only knew. And then the Sheikh went on to close out this portion of the talk. So for the remainder of the day, Ikhwan, inshallah, after each salat, the Sheikh is going to give a small talk like he just gave just now, bi-idhnillah. And then after salat al-maghrib, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and if the Sheikh is up to it, there's going to be the lecture for today. And then we're going to have some talks tomorrow as well, inshallah ta'ala. And we thank the Sheikh, but we first praise and thank Allah ta'ala for allowing him to come to get the other shuyukh back safely and bringing him here once again to be with us, even if it is for a short time. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The Sheikh said if you brothers have any questions, he's going to take 5 questions. They came in late last night, so if you have any questions, feel free to ask questions now. كيف يوفق بين جمع التوحيد أو معرفته وجمع الأعمال الصالحة، لأن يكون الإنسان في معرفته للتوحيد ومسائله قويا ولكنه ضعيف في معرفته بالأمور التي تتعلق بالمنهج السلفي والعقل، كيف يوفق في هذا الأمر؟
يقول السائل كيف يمكننا التوفيق بين العقيدة والمنهج، إذ نرى بعض الناس يهتمون بالعقيدة ويهملون المنهج، أو العكس يهتمون بالمنهج ويهملون العقيدة والتوحيد. وفي الحقيقة لا يمكن بحال من الأحوال، وإن وجد ما ذكر في الواقع، لكن لا يمكن بحال من الأحوال أن يوجد هذا في الشرع والدين، لأن التوحيد والعقيدة من جهة والمنهج والعمل الصالح من جهة لا يمكن أبدا الفصل بينهما، ولا يمكن بحال من الأحوال إلا أن يتلازما ويتناسبا. إذا قويت العقيدة قوي العمل وقوي المنهج بلا شك، والعكس بالعكس صحيح. فلهذا نقول إن الذي يهتم بالتوحيد ظاهرا وهو لا يهتم بالمنهج والعمل كذلك، فعقيدته ضعيفة فيها غبش وفيها خلل، وإن زعم أنه يعرف التوحيد، لأن التوحيد ليس كلاما نظريا يقال. ما أسهل أن أقول التوحيد 3 أقسام: توحيد الربوبية، توحيد الألوهية، توحيد الأسماء والصفات، لكني لا أفهم شيئا من ذلك ولا أستحضره ولا أجد في قلبي معاني لهذا التوحيد، بل مثل هؤلاء الذين لا يظهر عليهم أثر هذا التوحيد في منهجهم العملي، تجدهم ضعاف التوكل على الله، تجدهم ضعاف اليقين في الله، وتجدهم يسيئون الظن بالله ولا يحسنون الظن به. بمجرد أن يصيبهم شيء بسيط تجد أمورهم انقلبت رأسا على عقب، تجده مضطربا، تجده لا يستطيع أن يلم شعث نفسه، لأنه في الحقيقة ما دخل التوحيد قلبه كما ينبغي، ولا تمكن الإيمان من قلبه كما ينبغي، إنما هو مجرد كلام نظري. فهذا هو الميزان الشرعي، لأن الإيمان والعمل الصالح متلازمان، لأن العقيدة والمنهج متلازمان. لأن الذي آمن بشيء لابد أن يسلك السبيل الذي آمن به، والعكس بالعكس صحيح. رجل يتكلم عن المنهج كلاما جميلا جدا، ثم هو لا يهتم بالتوحيد، هذا لا يمكن أن يكون منهجه صحيحا أبدا، لا يمكن في حال من الأحوال. وإذا أنت تتبعت كتاب الله عز وجل وجدت دائما إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات، إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات، آمنوا عرفوا الحق وأيقنوا به وتمكن من قلوبهم، عرفوا التوحيد، أصلحوا عقيدتهم، أحسنوا الظن بربهم، ثم بعد ذلك ترتب على هذا عمل صالح، منهج قويم، صراط مستقيم، فهناك إذن تناسب بين الإيمان والعمل، بين العقيدة والمنهج، كل منهما يقوي الآخر، والضعف في أحدهما يضعف الآخر بلا شك، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Sheikh went on to explain, Ikhwani, after repeating the question, that in reality you cannot, and then he stopped and he paraphrased this. He said, in reality you cannot, even though it is found what was mentioned. He went on to say, even though you can find what was mentioned, that some people have this aqidah issue or concern with aqidah, but they don't concern themselves with minhaj or opposite. He said, in reality, you cannot find in this religion this situation taking place except that there are going to be problems. From one angle, a person who is dealing with the aqidah, and from the other angle, a person who is dealing with the minhaj. And in each case, the person is neglecting the other thing. He said there's no way possible that you can separate these two issues in the religion. But instead, if a person's aqidah is strong, then as a result of that, his minhaj is going to be strong. And if a person's minhaj is going to be strong, then it should necessitate also that his aqidah should be strong. For that reason, we say very clearly and openly that the person who pays attention and he concerns himself with learning about the aqidah, but while doing that, he neglects the issues of the minhaj, in reality, you're going to find that his aqidah is weak. Even though he claims to be concerning himself with aqidah, he may come with some beautiful kalam that makes a lot of sense, that he may say, and you'll see it on his tongue, and you'll hear it from his mouth. He may say that a tawheed is three aqsam, the tawheed al-uluhiyya, and the tawheed al-rububiyya, and the tawheed al-asma wa sifat. So he says that with his tongue, and this is a person who's claiming, or it is claimed, that he is on a good and strong aqidah, but his minhaj issue is weak. Okay, we'll find that when this person who is saying this, claiming to be upon aqidah strongly, but he's weak and he's neglectful as it relates to the minhaj, in reality his aqidah is going to be weak. Whenever we look at his situation, we're going to see him very, very weak in the bab of a tawakkul ala Allah. When it's time for him to have a tawakkul, we'll see that he's missing the mark and he's falling short of the target. He'll have, or they'll have, bad opinions or su'adhan as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They won't think that Allah ta'ala is going to ultimately take care of their situation, or it is the state of mind in which the person has trust and faith that Allah is going to look out for me and take care of my affairs. Instead, they'll have su'adhan. Why did Allah do this to me? Allah is not going to look out for me. Allah is not going to help me. He said if something happens to them, from the smallest of trials and tribulations, you'll find that individual afraid and weak, and the thing will practically crush him and overtake him. So their whole issue of being strong on aqidah, their issue is nazari, or it is theory, it's theoretics, it's not reality. And then on the other hand, we'll find another man who, as it relates to the issues of the minhaj, he'll give some nice kalam, some strong kalam that makes sense, and it's kalam that is, it could be understood and comprehended. But again, if the person is neglecting the issues of the aqidah and he's not paying attention to a tawheed, then what's going to happen is when you come to really investigate and to look closely at his minhaj, you're going to find, even though he's claiming to be strong on the minhaj, when he neglected the aqidah, it's going to necessitate that there are going to be some weaknesses and contradictions and problems in his minhaj. And that's why, if we were to take the time out and we to make the tatabba of the Qur'an, the book of Allah, if we were to read the Qur'an and contemplate the Qur'an, we'll find that Allah Ta'ala said over and over in the Qur'an, verily those who believe and they do the righteous works. Those who believe and they do the righteous works. So we understand from that, that the issue of the ideology, the ideology or the aqidah, and the issue of the minhaj or the methodology, they go hand in hand. The one who knows the aqidah and at-tawheed, that will help him to know and to understand the right works and the minhaj. And similarly, the one who knows the minhaj properly, that will help him to know and to understand the proper aqidah and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because between these two issues, between al-aqidah and between the minhaj, there is some tanasib. They are relative and related and intermixed and interchangeable. The aqidah and the minhaj, the tawheed and the minhaj, they can never be separated, or the person is separating his religion. Namahi Sharif. يسأل السائل ما حكم الدخول المشركين في المساجد العادية مثل هذا المسجد لا يقصد المسجدين الحرمين ما حكم دخول المشركين في المساجد العادية مثل هذا المسجد والمناسبات التي يدخلون ليشاهدونها مثل الجنازة الجنائز والولائم وهذه الأمور ما حكم ذلك
بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله هذا هو السؤال الثاني ويسأل السائل يقول ما حكم دخول المشركين إلى المساجد في هذه البلاد وكأنه يقول هل هناك فرق بين المساجد في هذه البلاد والمسجد الحرام والمسجد النبوي أقول لا يجوز دخول المشركين إلى المساجد مطلقا وأما المسجدان المسجد الحرام وأما المسجدان المسجد الحرام والمسجد النبوي فلا يجوز دخول مكة والمدينة مطلقا ليس فقط لا يجوز دخول المسجدين بل لا يجوز دخول مكة والمدينة مطلقا لمشرك ففي حق المسجد الحرام والمسجد النبوي إنما المشركون نجس فلا يقربوا المسجد الحرام يقربوا معناه لا يدخلوا مكة ولا يدخلوا كذلك المدينة لأن المدينة حرم كما أن مكة حرم فلا يجوز دخول البلدين فلا يقربوا فلا يقربوا أعم من لا يدخلوا لا يقربوا لا يدخلوا البلد كاملة أما بالنسبة للمساجد التي هي في البلاد الأخرى فلا يجوز دخول المشرك للمسجد مختارا مكرما معززا أما إذا أدخل رغما عن أنفه
كالأسير مثلا يربط في المسجد كما حصل في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا بأس بهذا، هذا لا يدخله مكرما معززا، إنما يدخله رغما عن أنفه ويكون أسيرا، فنضع الأسرى في المسجد مثلا، نربطهم في أعمدة المسجد كما فعل ببعض المشركين في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وكان ذلك سببا في إسلامه. أما أننا نكرمهم ونعزهم وندخلهم مكرمين معززين، لا، أما هذا فلا، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Sheikh, after repeating the question of the questioner, he said that it is not permissible for the polytheist, the mushrikun, to enter into the masajid mutlaqan at any cost. In general, it's not permissible. He went on to say, as for the two masjids in Mecca, the Haram in Mecca and the Prophet's masjid, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he said, it's not permissible for a mushrik to enter into Mecca or into Medina, not even to mention the masjid. As it relates to the two masjids in Mecca and Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the mushrikun are najis, they are filthy, dirty. So do not let them come close to the masjid after this year. Verily the mushrikeen, the mushrikun are najis. So do not let them come close to the masjid after this year. The Sheikh said we have to make the distinction in this ayah. Allah Ta'ala said, فَلَا يَقْرِبُوا. Don't let them come close. And this is more general than the statement, فَلَا يَدْخُلُوا. This is more general than, it said, don't let them come close. It's more general than, don't let them enter. So if they can't come close to the masjid, clearly they can't enter into the masjid. That's as it relates to Mecca and Medina. The second issue is the masajid, the general masjids, like in the masjids here in this country. He said it's also not permissible to allow these people to enter into the masjids here. And if for some reason they have to come in, or they are allowed to come in, then they shouldn't come in as a result of their choice, mukhtaran, like they have, you know, they have the choice, so they're executing their choice. They should not be allowed to come in a way of being respected, mukrimin, like they have karam, they're going to come in and they're going to be honored and respected, or mu'azzaz, and they're going to come in and they're going to be exalted and raised. He said no, if they do for some reason have to come in, then they should come in how? They should come in by us tying them up to one of the poles in the masjid. They should come in as being a slave of the Muslims in the masjid, as it used to happen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would bring him in and they would tie him up to a pole, and then that would be one of the reasons that individual, he accepted al-Islam.